my text from. Actually, will be Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Acts chapter 1. Appreciate these testimonies tonight. Appreciate everything the Spirit of God has already spoken in this place tonight. Amen. It's just amazing how God gives us plenty of food to feast upon. In Matthew chapter 28, I want to begin reading at verse number 18. You're reading all the way down to verse number 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus speaking to his disciples also, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." And then in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. You can be seated again this evening. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word and our opening text here this evening. I want to preach to us tonight on characteristics of the commission. The Great Commission is what these scriptures are called. And I want to give you some characteristics of this commission. The different things, the different terminology that Jesus Christ used as he was giving this commission. It's all the same commission. I want you to understand that. Even though different terminology was recorded, it's still the same commission. And I want to bring out the reality of the vastness of this commission and the various different characteristics of this commission of why you and I must be victorious for Jesus Christ. If you and I are to fulfill the Great Commission, then you and I are going to have to be victorious in Jesus Christ. Because there are characteristics of this commission that a lot of times we overlook or do not even read into what is called the Great Commission. Amen. And so we see, I've got several points here tonight that I want to bring out. But it's believed and it's instructed and it's taught and it's preached by anyone that I know of that these are scriptures that are considered the Great Commission. So this is not to somebody else. This is to you. This is to me. Every individual receives this commission. It's not an option whether I choose it or don't choose it. It's not a multiple choice of which part I want of this Great Commission. It is the Great Commission, and all parts are not optional. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why God has supplied our every need according to His riches in glory. That's why we live from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from victory to victory. That's why God continually pours into us life. Amen. Because there is a commission to be kept, and there is a work to be done, and every one of us have our praise God. Characteristics of the commission. Number one is Mark 16, 15. And he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Here we find evangelism. preaching the gospel. We preached about it a Sunday morning, the everlasting gospel, the immutable gospel. And so the first point or the first characteristic of the commission, the Great Commission, is to evangelize the world, to evangelize your neighbor, to evangelize your friends, to evangelize consumers, hallelujah, to evangelize your boss. That one's rough sometimes. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I can remember a time when I worked at a place called Escort Trailer. And my boss was one of those bosses that didn't make it easy on you. And actually always kind of tried to make it hard on me because I was a Christian. And so he would always try to do things that would push my buttons. He would always try to do something. And to make a long story short, we did not get along very well at all to start with. But as time began to roll on, God began to deal with me to become a worker that he could not condemn, a worker that he could not have anything to say about. And if he said anything, it would be not true. And so I began to do my utmost for the highest, not him, for Jesus Christ in the workplace where I was working. And I became that number one worker to where the integrity was higher than the production. Hello. Praise God. The quality. Everything. I did it to the best of my ability. I did it according to the way that they wanted it. And as time rolled around, we had conflict. And one day I lost it. And I told him exactly how the cow ate the cabbage. And I told him exactly what he was and what he was doing and how wrong he was in doing it. And he no more had turned around steaming and fuming and walked up to his office than the Spirit of God came down right there in that workplace and said, "You did not do right." And within the next 30 minutes, I was marching to his office and I was apologizing for my behavior. And from that point forward, we became friends. Because me humbling myself and going to apologize to him, because he knew he was out of line too. And when I did that, there was something inside of him that just melted. There was something inside of me that melted. And we had conflict no more. We always helped one another, encouraged one another, and made sure everything was done the way it needed to be done. Storms. Storms. Preaching the gospel. Keeping the Great Commission. I shared that because we're going somewhere with this here tonight. That's more than just preaching the good news. It's more than just verbally saying that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and he was buried and he rose the third day and he's a savior of the world. That is the gospel. That is the good news and that needs to be shared. But there's so much more in this great commission to the winning of souls and the turning of hearts and the turning of minds and bringing them to the knowledge of the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the cross in your life personally. My life personally. But number one characteristic is to evangelize. It is to preach the gospel. It is to take that good news to every creature. Every individual needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And the second characteristic is what he said there in Matthew, to teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And of course, the assurance that he gives that I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the world, so we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, we don't have to fear, but we have to teach, hallelujah, the things of the kingdom of God. And so in Ephesians 4 and 11, I brought this scripture in here tonight, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do the saints need perfected? Why does there need to be working in ministry? And why does there have to be the edifying of the body of Christ? Because there's a great commission, hallelujah, to win the lost. There's a great commission for the lost to see the wonderful works of God among the children of men. Hallelujah. Where are they going to see that at? They're going to see it in your life. They're going to see it in my life. Just as the illustration that I gave you, that's how he saw it illustrated in my life when I apologized for my bad behavior. Not too many folks like to apologize for their bad behavior, do they? They just want to kind of raise the rug, kick it under. I can be notorious for that. How about you? Oh, yeah, let's just raise the rug, kick it under, and let's not talk about it anymore. That's just the way I am. Woo! How about if we raise the rug and kick you under? Woo! If that's the way you are. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Or would you rather change? Or would you rather live the rest of your life under a rug? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about the Great Commission here tonight. I'm talking about winning the loss. I'm talking about the character we display, the integrity we display. Woo, hallelujah. You mean that's part of the Great Commission? You're understanding it tonight. Hallelujah. This is why the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. In other words, once they hear the gospel, once they hear the good news, hey, that's not the end of the Great Commission. They've got to be then taught the ways of Christ, taught the ways of God, taught the ways of the Word of God. There's got to be that perfecting of the saints. Hallelujah. There's got to be the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, there's things that have got to change in our lives. And then there's our emotions that we got to deal with. The edifying of the body of Christ, keeping our chin up. Woo, hallelujah. Keeping our heart encouraged, keeping our mind sound. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I mean, he's not given us that spirit of fear. No. He's given us that love, that sound mind. Hallelujah. The power of an almighty God can work inside of us. Sometimes I think we get the power thing maybe misunderstood a little bit. We think that power ought to be manifested outwardly. I got news for you. When you can go apologize for your misbehavior, you got power working inside of you. Woo, hallelujah. Crucifying that pride and resurrecting Christ's humility. That's power, my friend. That's power. Hallelujah. And that's what we need in our lives. Hallelujah. As the Spirit of God works in us. And so we see then the second characteristic of the Great Commission is teaching, the training, the edifying. Hallelujah. And then the next characteristic, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Hallelujah. You ever forget anything? You ever forget how you're supposed to act? And then somebody gets up and preaches on how you've been acting? What is that? Well, that same thing Peter was doing. I'm writing to stir up your remembrance of your behavior. Hello. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you just love it when the preacher starts preaching about what you did the day before? No, you don't love it. But it happens, doesn't it? Hallelujah. What is that? That stirring up, that remembrance, stirring up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. In other words, what that means is it's stirring you up to remind you of what you have been before and of where you have fallen to now. Hallelujah. Stirring up. This is part of the characteristics of the Great Commission. Jude 1:17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. An example was given in this testimony of Brother Matthews tonight about the song Sister Pepper had sung and how God brought it to his remembrance, or the song was played and it stirred up his remembrance, hallelujah, of the keeping power of God. You see, this is what it's talking about. So part of the Great Commission is continually being stirred to remembrance, being conscious of my behavior, being conscious of what light I'm shining, being conscious of how I'm acting, stirring up, hallelujah, remembering the little I don't know how many messages have been preached now that we've added to that little storyline. What does that do? That stirs your remembrance of the messages that have been coming across from this pulpit and the words God's been speaking to our hearts. Otherwise, sometimes when we leave Brother Matthew, we forget the song. I'm a strange duck. I don't forget the songs. I forget everything else. I remember the song. You ever wondered why I can stand up here and sing all these songs and you're looking at the words and I'm not? Because I've sang them so many times over and over and over. They're in there. They're in there. You wonder why sometimes I can preach and not even look at my words and look at my Bible and start saying scriptures? Because I've preached it over and over and over. And it's in there. Hide it in your heart. Ooh, hallelujah. When you get it in there, it'll come out when the Holy Ghost needs it. Hallelujah. Praise God. The third characteristic is stirring up. Here, Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Who are they profitable unto? They're profitable to everybody else. When you do good, you're profitable to everybody else. When you and I do bad, we're unprofitable to everybody else. Hallelujah. You don't live unto yourself. You've heard this statistic multitudes of times. There's at least how many people watching your life? At least 7. This is the statistic that they give out. There's 7 people watching you. And then if you're in a place of ministry role, there is more than 7 watching you. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. See, that's why it's important how you live, how you act, what kind of attitude you carry around with you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we carry it in our back pocket and only bring it out when we want to. And sometimes we carry it on our shoulder and show it to everybody. Kind of attitude you carrying around. Hallelujah. That you be careful to maintain good works. That means you got to be conscious. To be careful. How many times has your mom or dad, Titus, told you to be careful with something? Be careful, you might break that. Be careful, you might get hurt. Be careful. What does it mean when we tell somebody to be careful? Where's Timmy? There he is. Timmy, what's it mean to be careful? Paying attention to what you're doing. Because if you're not careful, you might fall. If you're not paying attention, how many's walked down this aisle right here and tripped on that hump in the floor? Everybody's looking, there ain't no hump in that floor, Brother Pepper. I know there's got to be a hump in that floor because I've walked down this aisle several times and about right here, I trip a little bit. I watched Jonathan do it back there at that hump the other night. They're in here, church. Trust me, they're in here. Not always is it the hump in the floor. Sometimes it's your foot ain't moving like it's supposed to, Brother Matthew. Yeah, got to be careful. How many times do you come to these stairs and concentrate real careful to make sure you go up them? Every time. Unless the Spirit of God's moving and then you're gone. It doesn't make any difference. You know He's going to take care of you. But careful, be careful to maintain. What's it mean to maintain something? Keep it to where it's going to function properly. I mean, just the simple maintaining a vehicle is bringing forth longevity to that vehicle. Maintaining a piece of equipment. I was raised on a farm. I mean, we maintenance things regularly, and some things we didn't maintenance regularly, and then we're out in the field with broke down equipment because we didn't maintain it. And then that ceases the productivity. Oh, you mean God wants productivity out of us? Yes. Hallelujah. The Great Commission. Productivity. Hallelujah. And so we see then maintaining good works is part of the Great Commission that Jesus Christ has given unto us, because by maintaining good works, it becomes profitable to men. You touch people's lives by the way you live your life, either for the good or for the bad. You touch their lives regardless. And so we see then characteristics of the Great Commission. Matthew 5:13. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see." That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If the salt has lost its savor. That word savor means the quality which renders a thing valuable. Does anybody in here know what renders you valuable? I'm sure there can be different thoughts on it. My thought is what renders you and I valuable is that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That the precious blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our heart's door. Hallelujah. And our sins are washed away. That makes us valuable. Hallelujah. That quality that makes us valuable is Jesus Christ on the inside, to where they can see Him working on the outside. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then that if the salt of the earth has lost its value or its quality, it's good for nothing. Whoa. So if you want to be valuable, then Jesus needs to be on the inside. If you want to be worth nothing, just use the terminology of the Bible, then be selfish, and you will be worth nothing. I'm talking about fulfilling the Great Commission on a personal plane. Hallelujah. To where you can be the salt of the earth, and you can be the light of the world, that the world will see your good works. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's a little story. It says, at a meeting, some young people were discussing the text, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now, one suggestion after another was made what was the meaning of the salt in this verse. One said, "Well, salt imparts a desirable flavor." That's good. "And salt preserves from decay," another suggested. And then a young girl spoke up of an experience none of the others had. She said, "Salt creates thirst." There was a sudden hush in the room, and everyone was thinking, Have I ever made anyone thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ? Has my life ever created a desire in somebody to know Jesus Christ? Wow. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of this world. You're the only one some people are going to see. What do they see? What do they perceive? I realize sometimes that we are misunderstood. I realize sometimes we are ridiculed because of our good behavior. I've experienced that in the workplace. When you strive to produce quality, you strive to abide by the rules, you strive to do what you're told by the boss, you kind of get marked as one of them, you know, and everybody else is getting away with all they can get away with and just barely making production schedule and just barely getting by and just barely doing it, or they'll do it when the boss is there, and then when he's not, they just loaf. Whoa. Yeah, I've been ridiculed. I've been persecuted because I've done good. Have you ever experienced that? I hope you have. You should have anyway, because that should be your goal, is to be salt of the earth and to be a light in this world that they can see your good works. Not to glorify yourself, not to become vain, not to become prideful or arrogant, but so they will glorify God. Whatever you lay your hand to, you do it with all your might. Not with eye service, the Bible says, not as men pleasers, but you're working for the King. Hallelujah. On special assignment, diligence. Seeing a task as a special assignment from the Lord and doing all within my power to fulfill it. Whew, hallelujah. Now I tell you, there are people out there looking for workers like this. But what's sad, they're not finding them. Where's the church? Where's the individual that's supposed to be fulfilling the Great Commission? Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. You see, then the third point we've been discussing is that I called it being stirred up. But being reminded that I'm the salt, being reminded that I'm the light, being reminded that I've got to maintain good works, being reminded that I've got to be careful, I've got to pay attention, I've got to watch where I'm going and pay attention to what I'm doing. Focus. I'm going to throw a question out here and then I'm going to run off and leave it. When was the last time you thought about the Great Commission? I know you have tonight. I've been preaching on it, but that previous. Amen. Sometimes we don't think about it, do we? We don't think about what we're doing, while we're doing it. We get distracted, Sister Lindsay, by the storm that's going on. I'm talking from experience here, church. Some of you have probably experienced this from me, being your pastor. If you've been several years and I've been your pastor, I did it just the other night, last Thursday night, as a matter of fact. Sister April come up to me and was asking me a question about some tables, and I looked at her and I thought the answer, but I don't think I ever gave her an answer, and I was distracted with killing the wasp over there in the window in the recreation room. I think that's where we were at. But I didn't really pay attention to you, and I didn't really give you the answer that you needed, and you did the right thing. You went and asked Sister Pepper. Don't take that personal. And she's been with us long enough, she doesn't take that. But some people might take that personal, like he didn't want to give me my time. So I got to think. So I can't just expect everybody to overlook me, and I'm thankful she did and went to the higher source. But I've got to be more mindful when I'm locked into something to come unlocked. I was just thinking about this today, church, and I may preach it sometime. You know, we talk about a man in his box, you know, and it's true. We get locked in our box. But I was thinking about preaching a message on box jumping. Learning how to jump out of that box and pay attention to somebody that's talking to you, and then you can get back in your box. See, I'm not good at that. That doesn't come easy for me. It's just something about me. I'm not giving that excuse. Well, that's just the way I am. But yet there is a partial truth to that, because that is part of my temperament. When I get locked into something, I mean, it's like a bulldog hold. I ain't letting go until it's done. Sometimes that's devastating to me. And then sometimes it's devastating to others too. So I've got to be careful. Go ahead and jump out of the box. Because I have found out through the course of life, that box ain't going anywhere. And it's just easy to jump right back in. You may have forgot where you're at, but that's good for your brain, an exercise for your brain to bring it up to remembrance. Amen. Salt. Light to shine. Savior. I don't want to lose my Savior. I want to have that quality that I want to be mindful of what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm not. But that's why God's preaching this message to me. So that I will become mindful. Mindful of the Great Commission. Now, to my knowledge, I haven't made it to heaven yet. To my knowledge, you're not there yet either. Some of you may be lethargic, but you're not there yet. So if you're not there yet, then it is still my duty as a Christian to fulfill the Great Commission towards you. You notice I said as a Christian, not as a pastor, as a Christian. It is my duty to fulfill the Great Commission before your lives. Hallelujah. A lot of people think, well, it's because you're the pastor. No. It's because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Christ. And that Great Commission's been given to me on that plane. I was a Christian before I became a pastor. I was a Christian before I got called into the ministry. And to fulfill that ministry, I've got to maintain being a Christian. A follower of Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close with this tonight. The fourth point is the Great Commission is I always have to keep a thirst. John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. To fulfill the Great Commission, I've got to maintain a thirst. I've got to maintain a desire to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, how many has ever read in the Scripture and believe the Scripture that God is love? I think we all agree. The Bible declares that it is a truth. God is love. One of the greatest characteristics of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is love. And love is an emotion, but not all the time. Love stirs the emotions, but love is an act also. I must thirst for the action of God in my life on a personal plane. I've got a thirst for the love of God to be flowing into my soul so that it can be flowing out of my soul. If I get the outflow going more than I get the inflow coming in, something's going to run dry. Something's going to give way. What you'll find is when the outflow supersedes or overtakes the inflow, you will begin to have what we have termed carnal moments. That's when you know how you ought to act, but you don't act that way. What has produced that? Putting out more than you're getting in. Because if you don't have that love flowing in, there's nothing left to flow out but you. And sometimes self gets tired of taking what the world wants to dish out. But did you know Jesus Christ doesn't? That love of God flowing out of me, that love of God flowing out of you, well, that's what the world needs to see. That is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Preaching the gospel, teaching the truths, and maintaining an up-to-date relationship with the Holy Ghost of God, revealing Jesus Christ, His love, His power, His holiness in your life personally, so that you can pour it out to those that are around you. It's got to come in so it can flow out. It's got to come in so it can flow out. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, how many want love flowing out of your life? How many want to fulfill the great commission that Jesus Christ has given to you? Hallelujah. Because He's given it to you. He's given it to me. He's given it to every believer that's on the face of this earth. And these are characteristics of that great commission to fulfill it the way God wants it fulfilled. How about thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind? And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. Wow. So the only way that I'm going to be able to fulfill the Great Commission is if I fulfill those two commandments. And the only way that is going to transpire is if I get fulfilled by the Holy Ghost. Full. Overflowing. Pouring out to the lost and dying world. To brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you know that fulfilling the Great Commission engulfs, and I don't have time to preach it tonight because I've been preaching way too long. Fulfilling the Great Commission engulfs this Bible, the truths of the kingdom. Bear one another's burdens. That's fulfilling the commission. Overlooking one another's faults. That's fulfilling the commission. You see, when you do that, what are you displaying? You're displaying love. You're displaying Christ. Because Christ doesn't hold yours against you. He says, come. Confess your faults. Confess your sins. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Matthew was testifying. He said, I'm just going to be transparent. Brother, you're always transparent. I'm always transparent. Everybody sees how we act. Is that correct? You know how I act. I know how you act. I mean, we know each other. We know if we can say something's going to make you laugh. We know we can say something's going to make you mad. But we're still brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We're not all going to be like Brother Pepper. Rejoice and give God praise. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise break. Selah. Praise God, I'm not going to be like him. Hallelujah. But we're not all going to be like Titus. We're not going to be like Brother Robert. I'm sure somewhere out there in the wide world, there's probably another Brother Pepper walking around. Matter of fact, I've actually encountered some preaching brother that said, when I saw him for the first time, you look just like Brother so-and-so, and you act just like him. That poor soul. Oh. I've never met him. He's never met me, but I'm sure they have to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm glad somebody brought that up tonight. Praise God. Amen. Could I have a piano player? Thirsty. I've got a thirst for the love of God, which means I'm thirsting for that river of God. I'm thirsting for the Holy Ghost to come and have his way with me. Hallelujah. When I'm praying, Lord, have your way with me, it's synonymous with saying, Holy Ghost, have your way with me. There's no way God can do anything with me if I am not in tune with the Holy Ghost. A lot of people want to try to sidestep that. So, I can do things for God. Well, sure, you can do things for God. But God wants to get us to the place where he can do things with us. Not just us do something for God. Matter of fact, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're just supposed to come as a yielded vessel, and then God shows us what to do. Not to bring what we want to do to God, say, God, this is what I'll do. That's not how it works. You'll get nothing done. No. You've got to come to God an empty vessel. You got to come to God a willing vessel. You got to come to God a yielded vessel. Say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? Go look at it in the Bible. You'll find that is protocol. That is God's way. Just a yielded vessel, thirsty for the things of God, so that I might be equipped to fulfill the great commission of my Lord and my Savior and my King. Hallelujah. Stand, if you can, here tonight, one more time. Hallelujah. And let us come around these altars here tonight, and let's make prayer be known above that, God, we want to fulfill your commission. God, we want to be thirsty. It's been too long since we've been thirsty. God, we want your wonderful works in us, Lord, that they can be seen abroad, that they can be seen by those that were around. God of heaven, work in us on that individual, personal plane.